Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome to Real Weddings with Sarah. I'm Sarah Kennedy from Irish Wedding Blog, one of Ireland's leading sources for wedding inspiration, advice, and support. Real Weddings with Sarah brings you an inside snoop of some of Ireland's best loved personalities and celebrity weddings. Join me as I indulge on all of the wedding goss. Now, we are kicking off the season with, actually, we're taking things a little bit different, but a little bit of the same. So if anybody has been with me now for a long time and listened to the very first episode, you would have heard Choopy Sweetman's wedding story. And guess what? We're kicking off the season again with Choopy, because this is how you kick off a season. When we are talking about weddings, I have to come to the authority in the space, and that is her. So most of you will know, because it's a household name, Choopy as being one of the most exquisite, and I'm going to call it a bridal brand. It's obviously bigger than that, but so many of you have your engagement rings, wedding jewelry, and it's one of those ones that I know a lot of you will have saved, and you're keeping it in your Pinterest boards, or you're keeping it in all of your saved items, and they're the pictures you're sending your hints to if you are looking for that. So we're going to kick off the season in this time pre-Christmas to talk about engagement season and what you need to be thinking of, and maybe thinking about not just the function of it, but let's talk a little bit about sustainability, making good choices. So Choopy, you are so welcome. I'm delighted to have you back.
It is my pleasure to be here, and this is the season. I always think, you know, Christmas is the season of magic, it's hope, it is love. It's about the business of love, and that's amazing.
And it, you know, everybody's together. Yeah. You're seeing your family, you're seeing your friends. It's a really sociable time. So to get a proposal,
honestly,
Christmas,
my favorite time of year. So 28% of people get engaged at Christmas.
Yes.
And that's because it is magical. And mm-hmm. I was saying, so all the guys who work through our doors, we've got a flagship on Clarendon Street, and they come in and they're planning their Christmas proposal, and they're talking about it, and they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to propose on New Year's Eve. I'm like, don't, stop now. Propose as early as possible in December, because you just get this love bomb. You and I are 10 years married,
yes,
both this year.
Yes, I know.
But that love bomb, you know, when you first get engaged and everyone is so happy, and just that celebration. And it's why Christmas is such a special time of year. It's my favourite time of year for proposal, because you get all of your people, and how rare that is to have everyone
and
in the room.
That's it. And everybody's celebrating you, and it just, you're celebrating anyway at Christmas, but this is like the cherry on top.
It doesn't matter if you've been together. My husband and I, Brian, we met 24 years ago. So I'm 40. 24 years ago, I met when we were 16. We got engaged at 26. No one was shocked. We had been together a decade at that stage.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter. There was still, you still are happy, whether the couple have been together 2 years or 10 years. The celebration is still the same, because you're just so happy.
You're just so happy. It's such a lovely time. And you know you're going into this bubble of loveliness for the next, well, it's now gone to 18 months to 2 years when we think about the planning timeline. So when we think about that ring going on, and look, what's it like in the store as we speak?
It is bonkers. I was literally late. I was like, I'm so sorry. We have our offices and our workshops. So we are making our jewellery on Clarendon Street above the store. And I was walking out the store and got caught by a gorgeous guy in coming, getting his ring. And it's amazing. I definitely think if I could teach the men of Ireland, and the amazing women are always amazing. Women who are proposing, they have it nailed. They know what they're doing. They know the rings. They know the lead times. Bless the boys. They tend to come in being like it's ordering a pizza, being like, yeah, cool. That 2-carat diamond ring on that band, I'll take it away now. So and I'm like, oh my God,
no, that's a sample.
It's made in Ireland. It's going to be made for you. But it is bonkers. So I would say right now our job is we're getting the boys out the door with their rings.
Because in a panic.
They're so sweet. They're coming out. A guy in the other day. So I don't get a lot of time on the floor in general, meeting everyone. But at this time of year, I'm like an addict. I work upstairs and I'm like, I'm just going to sneak down. Just going
to
go say
part
hi.
Because there's so much energy and happiness in the room.
And the love. Like you just, our teamer was saying it's cheapy is the worst business to work in if you are looking to meet someone, because you meet the most romantic men and women in Ireland, but they're already taken. So all these guys, like we had a guy who flew in last week, got on a flight from New York, came, picked up his ring and has flown home. Just didn't trust ripping one. We'd chip all over the world, but he wanted to get his ring and bring it safely. Gorgeous guy who walked in last week and was like, yeah, so I'm going to Mexico in 2 days. I was showing him rings and he was like, yeah, I'm going to be in Mexico in 2 days. And I was like, okay, we're going to get you the ring. And I think it's really tough on the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, really tough if you're proposing. Well, there's a lot on it,
particularly if you are picking the ring without, you know, your other half being involved in it and you're trying to make these executive decisions and hope to the gods that she likes it.
And I feel they get hung up on the wrong things. So most men who are proposing get really stuck on the idea of the perfect size. They're really anxious. I think because we've all traumatized them from, if you've ever bought your wife or your girlfriend the wrong size dress, like, yes, we've all seen that, you know, you do not do that. And so they get very hung up on this idea of the perfect size. And so what do I say? If you're a proposer, don't stress. We size people from pint of Guinness. If you can show me someone holding a pint of Guinness, I can tell you what ring size they are.
Really?
Because
what am I?
But you're not holding a pint of Guinness. Oh. So my challenge, I don't know what size the glass is.
Because you need
contextual objects. So if you can get a photograph beside a credit card or holding a pint of Guinness, because we know what size a pint of glass is. We know what size a credit card is.
But you have that functionality on your website.
We do. We have a lot of very fancy tech.
Yes.
Yeah. And it really helps because trying to get that perfect size. But I would always say, don't worry about size. We're almost certainly no one gets the right size. So
yes,
I am a size J. When my husband proposed, my ring was a size P. So about four sizes too wrong, because it's impossible.
Of course.
So there's a couple of things you really need, but there are things you really need to think about when you're choosing the ring.
Okay. Well, can we talk about then, like, if size is really important? I'm trying not to go down this route. Help me God. Okay. Are there any tips that you would give someone if they want to find out the size?
So best one we can ever do is a ring your partner regularly wears.
Yes.
And the finger they wear it on.
Okay.
So sizing is really... So my husband,
majority of them are not going to have it on their engagement finger because we generally leave that blank.
We leave a blank waiting for the right person, right moment. So my husband did a brilliant job. He took one of the rings I wear regularly. He went and got it sized in Ireland. He'd had my ring made in New York, got it shipped. Unfortunately, he took the ring I wore on my right index finger, which is the biggest finger of my hand.
That'll do.
So it's always about just get a ring and give us context. That's the ring she always wears on her middle right finger. And we can give you a really good guess. But I would say, genuinely, don't worry. We would make for engagement kind of anywhere between a size. We size American. Because we're big international, we're in 70 countries, so international is huge for us. So we would size anything from kind of 4 to a 10 as standard on engagement fingers, which is only 6 sizes. So you're grand. If we have a rough idea, don't worry
about it.
That's
it. And you can size it.
It's much more important when you're buying an engagement ring is you're buying a piece of the future.
Yes.
And that's your job. Don't worry about the size. We'll fix that afterwards. You've got to choose your why. Why are you buying it? What do you want it to feel like? What does that ring for you as the person who's going to wear that ring for the rest of your life? What do you want it to feel like?
So, at the moment, when you see whether it's whatever part of the couple, so that could be a guy proposing to a guy proposing to a girl, girl proposing to a guy, girl proposing to a girl. So do you find that they come in on their own and it's like this secret mission, or are couples coming in together? Like, how is it working?
Zara, it's changed so much over the last... So Cheapy's 11 years old. 5 years ago, we would have said maybe 50-50. Half the time, predominantly he would come choose by himself, and then half the time the couple would come in together. Mm-hmm. It's totally flipped. So 9 out of 10 of our couples come in together.
And would they already be engaged, like they've got a promise ring and now they're going, or is this something that they're doing behind curtains, basically,
It's kind of the, like, we've had a glass of wine, we're just going to have a little lunch and then let's go try on some rings.
Now, do all of the guys know? Is she just like, I just want to try on a ring, and then all of a sudden can I see your best engagement selection, please?
And they sometimes know and they sometimes don't. But I would say it's just changed so much. I always think, so my mum is one of the founders of the women's movement, and that huge journey we've been on as women for equality over the last 50 years. Obviously, there was a recent election in Ireland and I was like, guys, go vote. Women literally died for our right to vote.
And then 50% turnout.
Just like, we have an obligation. Women died for our right to vote, go vote. And in the same way it used to be, it was very Prince Charming. He would go choose the ring. He'd decide the right ring for you.
Yes.
He'd go and choose the gold, the carat, everything, all the cut, the diamond. And then he'd propose. And you, of course, would blushingly say, oh my God, I'm so happy. Even if you hate it.
Yes.
And that used to be, that was very much our mother's time. And there's gorgeous romantic stories out of that. And like, amazing if you get the right ring.
Yeah.
Props to you if you can choose a ring blind for the person you love best. But it's really changed now, where it's no longer about Prince Charming and you waiting in the ivory tower. And they now shop together.
Right, so it's completely equal. They're having open conversations. There's none of this coyness about.
Are we maybe? Do we think we're going to get married? Is this going to be? You know, I always laugh. It's why. So we were really shocked. The girls were telling me on the shop floor in Chupi the other day. They had someone come in who was planning to propose after 3.5 years. And they were like, God, it was very soon. 3.5 years. On average, we're looking at 6 to 10 years.
Yes.
So our brides are coming in that kind of range. Brides and grooms coming in around six together, around six, and honestly, 10. 10 is the most
right,
common number.
That's like, it's we can't go into 11. We can't go into year
exactly.
11.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's dead. Shit are going to be dead.
Yeah, literally at that stage. And it might mean they already have babies because the marriage rates are dropping. So we're seeing a little decline in marriage rates. People might already have their babies. They might have done their house first.
Yes.
In this climate, you're definitely thinking, let's get our house and then do our ring. And so we're seeing that huge change in how people are shopping. So 9 out of 10 couples coming in together just for the first try on. Because you see, and we do, so we have about, it's like 10 to 15% of the guys will walk in. Girls are great. Women proposing, they know the cut of diamond she wants. They know the carrot she wants.
Honest.
They know the gold. They know the band. They are boom because they've had those conversations. The boys probably, you know, they've got this gorgeous old-fashioned romantic idea.
But they haven't thought of all the elements from the styling perspective either.
And it's so we would all start. First question. And the one.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Communicate to your partner, most importantly, gold. Do you want gold or white gold or platinum? But basically gold or white gold, because it's so, I'm a gold girl.
Gold, same.
Yeah, and you've just got to, if you're gold, I love white gold. I love platinum. It's gorgeous, but my rings are gold.
Yes.
And so it's that first most important conversation. Have it with your partner. Send them ideas. People, I always get these, whenever I do an Ask Me Anything on Instagram, I always get really funny questions from people and they're like, how do I tell my boyfriend I want to, you know, what ring I want? And I'm like, tell them. Literally, send them a picture. Be like, this is
what
I love.
Put it down on the coffee table and go, that's it.
Honestly, send the picture, send the idea, send the inspo, because it's so much easier on your partner. So they might be a bit shocked if you've not had the conversation. But I also think if you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone, have that conversation. Be like, you know, do we see this? You know, don't have it in week one, but at some point on the journey, have the conversation. Are we, you know, do you think you want to get married? Do you think you want to have babies? Know what the world looks like. And if they don't want to, that's okay. If you don't want to,
then where do we go from here?
But if you are heading down the route and you think you want it and your person doesn't, it's going to end in heartbreak at some point.
Yes. And you're only prolonging that.
You're only prolonging it.
Yes.
You're 5 and discovering they don't want to get married. Dunzo.
Yeah.
You know, you need to discover that much earlier in the stage. So I would say send your pictures. Be like, this is what I'm thinking about. Yes. Okay. Maybe not the Tinder date you met last night.
No, but it might be the, you know, you're walking by a window and you might say, I like that sort of thing.
And I really
that's
love
lovely.
That. Your friend gets engaged. His friend gets engaged. Her friend gets engaged. Go, I really love gold. I would never wear white gold. Or I love white gold. I'd never wear gold.
Yes.
And start talking because actually, so I fell in love with jewelry. I was 26. So Brian, my husband, we met when we were 16 and I say it was 3 weeks and he says it was 2 weeks, but he told me he loved me and he was going to marry me.
He knew.
He was absolutely, and my dad's on his 5th marriage. It was probably his 4th marriage at that stage. And so I was like, don't be ridiculous.
Because it wasn't something that you
I wasn't brought up with a dream of white dress and a big day out. It wasn't part of, you know, women's movement. I was brought up with the idea of love, but never the idea
and independence and that's not the only way. Yeah.
And never this idea of I always think the irony, I now work in the business of love, but that I didn't understand it. And so, but he was like, yeah, I'm going to marry you. I love you. And so he was absolutely certain. And we got 10 years later and he'd always been absolutely sure. He proposed and he did, smashed it. It was the most beautiful recycled gold ring with a grey diamond, handmade.
And right for you. Yeah.
Oh, like, and he was 1 in 10. He chose it.
Wow.
And it was midnight in Paris.
Oh.
No, not in Montpellier wine festival. He'd taken me for a gorgeous meal. Secret to my heart is to feed me the
feed
good
you.
Food.
Yeah.
And so it was magical. But I remember, I have such a profound, I tell the story all the time, because I have such a profound memory of putting on my engagement ring for the first time and thinking, I'm wearing a piece of the future.
And that's, like, that is a very big statement.
It's huge.
Because you think, because you're in the moment and you're thinking, I like this now and what I see and what's in front of me, but you don't think about 20 years and then I pass it on and, you know, and like it's an heirloom.
It's literally the first thing for most of us. So, you know, and I'm sure we're all given things and we, you know, we inherit things, but it, for most of us, it's the first piece of the future we'll ever own. The yes. first thing we're going to own that outlives us. The first thing that is the, you know, the chapter one in our story.
Yeah.
And it's the, you know, it's the, we all, we wear our granny's rings, we inherit, we're going to inherit our mums, our grannies, and we treasure them so much. But that story starts somewhere.
Yes.
And for me.
And it starts with that moment.
It starts with that
moment. Of you having that conversation.
And being like, this is my, and so, you know, I just remember being by the fountain and it was all of the fireworks and all of the things. And it was really private, even though it was in a really public place. So I'm not ironically, I wouldn't love a really public proposal. It's so different. So we need to do proposals, actual how to propose. You and I, I'm sure, have all of the good stories at some point in the future. But for me, it was that moment. At that point, I was working for Topshop in fast fashion.
Which is the antithesis, oh, literally, basically, of the brand of Shoopy.
I was designing future landfill. I was ultimately making things that were going to end up in landfill one day. And I knew wearing my ring that I was going to quit my job and train as a goldsmith.
So that moment actually has so much significance for you.
Huge. Wow. Like just this huge moment of being like, I always knew I was scouted very young. So I scouted out of uni to go work for Topshop at 21. And I always knew I wouldn't do it when I grew up. I always knew. And growing up for me was 40. So it's very funny turning 40 this year. I was like, oh yes, now
I'm meant to be. I meant to have it all. I meant to have it all sewn
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm now officially a grown up. So I have to get all my shit together. But for me, it was huge. And so I would always say, whenever I get the chance to talk about the ring you're choosing, I always think you've got to think about three people in the room. So you've got to think about who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And what brings you joy? What's going to, you know, every time you look at your hand, you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe it's mine.
Yes.
You've got to think about you in kind of 30 years, you know, that busy woman.
Exactly.
You know, your life has changed, all those things. Are you going to have babies? Are you not going to have babies? But that kind of 20, 30 years, a very different evolution from who you are when you're 25 or 30 when you get engaged. And then in your 70s, surrounded by the people you love, you're telling the story of the ring you chose, why you chose it, why it mattered. And you're going to be telling them that story and thinking about who you're going to pass your ring on to.
Yeah.
And so you've got it. And sometimes I tell this story and people go, oh, I've got to play it safe. I'm going to get the same ring everyone else has. I'm going to get the really safe, you know, jewelry moves through trends like everything else. I'm going to get the safe ring, not the trend ring. I actually feel the reverse of when I tell that story. So I always think about, you know, at Shoopy, we design, you know, we're all about design distinction, about made in Ireland, about really different things, about lab-grown diamonds, about heart cuts, about grey diamonds, something different, because don't play it safe.
Because a lot of people will play it safe because they're then thinking about, oh, I need to get the wedding band to match and I have to think of that and it's too out there. But no, it's...
You're going to be bored. Don't be bored by your diamonds. Of all the ways you want your engagement ring and your wedding band to feel, don't play it safe.
That is a t-shirt.
It is.
I think you need to do a clothing range. Don't be bored by your diamonds.com.
Because you just have all the things you should play it safe in. You know, like absolutely, there's things and sensible things we do. We all own yoga pants. And so I'd always say, think about that. What does it feel like for you? What does it look like? And what's the emotion? So for you as the person who's going to get the ring, and likewise the person who's giving the ring, think about spark joy.
Absolutely. Just giving over that joy to you when they see you with that and you're so happy. So when you have a couple in front of you and you're trying to talk them through. So obviously with the designs you do, they are visually so beautiful.
They are
stunning. Like even every time, you know, every time I see something on Instagram, I'm just like, love, love, love. It's just every time it's just so beautiful. And even, you know, you could take one ring and then you stack it with something else and it just brings it a whole new dimension. So, you know, visually, mm-hmm. The couple's first appeal is going to be like, it looks the way I want it to look, but you can't have style with no substance.
Usually.
So what is that functional layer that people should be, you know, thinking about when they're choosing their ring in terms of the quality and
hugely. And that hygiene piece is so huge because it's really tough for all of us. It's kind of like buying art or buying a car and being the person.
But this
who knows,
is it.
You know, you have to have huge trust.
It's a huge investment.
Huge investment. It's one of the most significant purchases you're ever going to make.
And particularly the first one,
huge.
If you haven't bought your home and you don't have kids, but like that is probably as a couple, the first parting of a few €1,000 that you're going to do.
Really significant.
Yeah.
And so let's start on the most basic level. Budget. So let's start with your budget. There is no such thing as the right budget. You don't have to do it. It used to be that 3x of gross salary monthly.
Oh,
like honestly, in this climate. So everyone,
we'd be starving.
You have to choose your budget. And I would say that's really important. Think about your budget. Think about what's going to have an impact on you guys. How's that going to work? What's achievable? What's not achievable? And also remembering that the stack is now part of the story. Mm. So very tough luck, folks. You can't actually see mine. And I am always caveat it before I show anyone my rings. I'm with my husband 24 years. So I've marked all the big moments. I have my engagement, my wedding. When I was 32, I had spent more days of my life with him than without him. And so I got an eternity ring. I was like, that is huge.
That is lovely.
That milestone in my life. So I have that. We had a long road to having our daughter. So I have a ring to not celebrate is the wrong word. Jewelry marks the best and worst days of our lives.
Yeah.
Not just the good days, but it was one of the worst days of my life. So I have a ring that honors the fact that no matter what road we took, we were going to start a family. We were going to have a baby, going to bring a child into our lives. So I have a ring to start that. And I have a ring for the day my girl was born. Aww. Four and a half. It was 4 years into our journey. She's now four and a half. And so I have best and worst days. Yeah.
But you have that all documented through,
I do,
you know, significance along your finger.
Hugely.
And, you know, I'm looking at it and I've admired this because we've done wedding fairs together and everything. And I'm just, every time I see it, I'm just like,
it's huge because there are these milestones in my life. And I have two crowns. So we do a lot of crown rings, these kind of real celebration rings. And I have one at the top and one at the bottom. Because for me, those moments are closed. We finished our family.
But you could always stack maybe if there was something
else. No, there's
nothing.
We won't have any more babies.
That's it. You're done.
That finger which defines the loves of my life is closed. And that, so for me, that's perfect. I know exactly what that looks like.
Thank God you've got another batch of fingers there.
Well, all the other moments in my life I want to mark. But for me, the love moments in my life, that celebrates them. And so for you, when you're looking at an engagement ring, you should be thinking about wedding band and an eternity.
Okay.
So eternity used to be traditionally 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I was like,
I wasn't waiting 10 years for
10
that.
10 years.
Putting in that hard labor.
To not get divorced in the first 10 years, well, bloody done, you deserve more than an eternity ring. And so I would always say, think about eternity and wedding. And it helps if you're on a budget.
Yes.
Because sometimes we get really caught up in this idea of, you know, we're diamond blind. Mm-hmm. You're looking at influencers, looking at online. They're wearing 3-4 carats. You know, they're wearing.
It's in a studio. There's lighting. There's all of those different things.
And so we've got this, you know, and you see it. People coming in and guys come in going, you know, with these pictures of these massive rocks. And I'm like, that is gorgeous.
But that doesn't define a good ring.
Yeah. You know, that is. And if you've got house deposit money for a ring, amazing. Brilliant. We love to meet you. And we do those house deposit rings. But actually, average spend is 3,500 on an engagement ring. €3,500. A little bit less than sterling, obviously. And so 3,500 is average budget. That's a gorgeous budget. You can get a heart-stoppingly beautiful ring.
It's big money.
It's huge money. Like save it out of your net income.
2 months rent for some, you know, like it's huge money. So it has to be right.
And so I'd say, so average is sort of 3.5. Kind of, there's another price point that happens around 5. So those are kind of the two big milestones. So kind of you're talking about 1,500, 3,500, 5. And then obviously people go up into the gorgeous big 2 carats. You're up at 10, 15, 20. We do around there. But don't get hung up on the perfect budget.
Yeah.
Because you're not.
So cut the cloth according to your measure.
Hugely.
And to get a fabulous ring, it doesn't have to cost a house deposit.
Spend what you're happy to as well. That's what it is. You know, maybe for you.
Because it will take the enjoyment out of it if someone's being killed financially for it.
And some people, and you can do the gorgeous 2 carat is gorgeous. Love a big, I am absolutely favorite for big rock, but make it work, make the budget work for you. And what I would say, because you're going to do a crown in eternity, an eternity and a wedding, our crowns are gorgeous. So you can do something. They give a lot of, so it's finger coverage.
So it'll give you realistic. So you could go with the, you know,
you
keep it simple on the one, but then you've got the stack.
Do a half carat, beautiful half carat, about
great
2,500 in lab. You do your 2,500, gorgeous, beautiful diamond. And then if you want a little bit more real estate, which is what we're always talking about, like your real estate, how are you going to spend it? What are you going to do? So your real estate, something like a crown.
Gorgeous.
Add it after a year. You give that huge big spread. It adds on more diamond onto your finger, but it doesn't kill you on the day you're purchasing it.
Yes.
And that's a way of just helping think about that budget. So budget's the first one we consider. Second, really, once you've decided that, you're set, you're out in the high street, you're shopping around, you've got to have such huge trust in the people you're buying from. So the brand you work with, who you choose. I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying, what does expensive look like? What does it feel like? What's value? And I would say, you know, look, you can buy anything you want to. You can get a rock off Amazon that looks like a big 3 carat for $50. Mm-hmm. You can get the look easy. You know, it's the Shein, it's the Temu.
Yes.
But if you buy a fake Chanel and Temu, it's always going to be a fake Chanel.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the real
thing.
And
you know that.
And we know that. And you can, and it's great if you want to do your promise ring, do the cheaper one. That's absolutely, people do it. But for me, I always think, you know, peace of the future. And so is why for GP, all those decisions are so important. It's the ethics around what you do and how you do it. So it's not just about what the ring looks like. How is it made? Where was it made? And who's going to take care of it afterwards?
Okay. So can we dive into this with a little bit more detail? Because I am seeing a strong movement. And I think you've led that discussion. And I think people are listening. And I think this if we go back 10 years ago, nobody was talking about this because the awareness wasn't there. So there's a big debate, not a big debate, but there's conversation and I suppose a lack of understanding or a worry that the more ethical way to get a diamond is not good enough, right? Lab grown diamonds, and you mentioned them already. Can you explain what is a lab grown diamond and why is it more ethical and why it's the choice of Tshupi?
So I always think this for me, so lab grown diamonds versus natural or mined diamonds, whatever way you want to look at them, 20 years ago. I wore my granny's fur coat. It was fox fur. It's gorgeous. So beautiful. I wore it. I was like, oh no, it's vintage. Oh my God, it's vintage. Told every single person I met before they even touched my coat, because clearly it was real fur. It was vintage. I hadn't killed the tiny little foxes to wear it. A few years later, I stopped wearing the coat because even though it was vintage, what it took to make that coat, fur farming is so far from acceptable now. Like we're all, you see fur is banned all over the world. No one is using it anymore. We have such good alternatives for fake fur that why on earth would we ever use real fur? Obviously, there are still people in the world. The Russian market for fake, for real fur is still huge. There's still people in the world who are real. But there's no question I would ever. I have the coat. I might take it out once in a blue moon, wear it to my best friends for dinner, not out in the real world. Lab-grown diamonds 20 years ago didn't really exist. They're relatively new opportunity.
I never heard of them.
Absolutely wild,
recently.
The change that's happened. De Beers obviously have a very significant marketing budget. They own a very significant chunk of the diamond market, and they did a lot of work to go, no, 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 don't look over here. Lab-grown diamonds are, for me, the future of diamonds.
Okay.
So in the way that we used to wear real fur and go, no, no, it's my granny's, I think our children in 20 years are going to be talking about their rings and going, oh no, it's not a natural. It's not a natural diamond. It's actually a lab diamond, it's natural. No, no, it's my granny's ring.
No one died to make this.
No one died because the challenge is the ethics around diamonds that come out of the ground. So if you take 1 carat of diamond out of the ground, you're talking about 4,000 liters of water, a swimming pool's worth of water. You're talking about 150 kilos of carbon. An entire oil drum of carbon to take it out of the ground. You're talking about, for every carat of diamond that comes out of the ground, 400 million times the volume of Earth has to move. 400 million times.
Wow.
Little tiny diamonds.
I never knew that.
It is wild. They're beautiful because obviously there's some incredible reports. Like, you always have to be careful. So many of the reports are produced by the industry, by the likes of the guys who are out there in the world. And for me, I think it's the ethics of it. So we can do, at Tshupi, we're obsessive lab diamond nerds.
Okay.
So our lab diamonds are carbon neutral. Literally certified from day one. So when you're talking about that 150 kilos of carbon, you've got zero.
Yeah.
You're talking about the water, you've got 250 versus 4,000.
And it's made in Ireland, less miles travelled and all of that to go with it.
And so I always think about piece of the future. What am I going to tell my daughter about the rings I chose, about the moments I marked? And so there's the sustainability ethics are huge when you're doing your diamond. And let's be very clear, lab diamonds are incredible, but you've got to get them carbon neutral and certified. So if you come to us, you're getting a lab diamond with carbon neutral. So it's zero carbon impact. You're out on the high street buying a lab, 500 kilos of carbon. It's actually worse buying a dirty lab. So a lab that's been grown in China is actually 3 times worse for the environment than a mined diamond.
So how do you know?
You ask.
You have to ask.
Your
and
job.
You've got the certification that's up front so
exactly.
people would know. So you need to everyone aside, you have to know who's playing in the right field.
First job is you've got to decide what kind of world you want. Do you want a vintage ring? Do you want something that is, do you want a diamond that came out of the ground? Do you want a lab diamond? And you're defining your future there. So you're making your kind of choices right at the start, going, okay, there's kind of a couple of different options. You're going to get a family vintage ring. Are you going to go down the natural route? Are you going to go lab? And then once you decide lab, if that's your option, you've got to then ask the questions. Where do diamonds come from? Are they certified?
Same as you would for
anything else.
For anything else.
Same.
Okay.
Like, your diamond should come with a perfect cert. So all of our lab-grown diamonds have certs that literally tell you colour, clarity, carat.
Yes.
They'll tell you everything. And it's the big challenge is that you won't be able to necessarily read a cert. A little bit of research. Honestly, 20 minutes on Google and you'll understand the basics of the search and you'll know what you're looking for.
But if you were buying, like I remember when, and like, you know, even with couples I would have worked with, et cetera, when everybody is buying their ring, they still go to see, oh, the valuation and I need a certificate. Oh, that's a certified real diamond. So you're going to be looking for that paperwork anyway.
You have to have it.
So and this is no different.
And it's hugely about trust. So the big thing you're doing when you're walking in is you want to trust the brand and the business. Do you trust not just the lovely salesperson in front of you because they're gorgeous and their job is to ensure that you walk out the door with, like you did Sarah, years ago, walk out the door with a diamond in your pocket.
And boy, did I sell those puppies.
This is it. And you've got to understand that is the business someone you want to work with because it's a lifelong relationship.
Yes.
So we have people who've bought from us over a decade ago, still coming in every year, get their ring serviced, get their ring checked, and that we can stand over the ethics of why we do it. So that's the diamond side of it.
Yes.
You've then got to consider the gold. So gold is, I guess, absolutely fascinating, the gold stuff. So we use carbon neutral certified recycled gold.
Oh, wow.
So the greatest depository of gold in the world is above ground. It's the gold that's sitting in recycling. So we don't need to go mine a single other gram out of the ground. But honestly, for so many people, there's still, like, gold mining is horrifically dirty. So we're always saying, again, ask for the certs. Where's the gold coming from?
Yes. What's the story behind
it? Yeah. And then where's it made? So most of what, when you're walking out on the high street in Dublin, and indeed the high street across the world, you're getting, essentially it's AliExpress. So what the guys are able to do, all of those stores that, you know, when you walk in and they have 100 different design options and you're like, oh my God, they're designing the ring for me. They're not. They basically have AliExpress. They get a catalogue and it has hundreds of different settings. And all they do is they order the setting for you. It's probably China, possibly India, maybe Thailand. And the setting is made over there. They buy the diamond in from God knows where, possibly China as well. And then they put them together, assembled in Ireland. And it's, it technically was being assembled in Ireland.
Yeah, it's produced kind of in Ireland.
It's kind of like the Brazilian chicken that is grown, you know, chickens farmed in Brazil, frozen and then repackaged here and we call it Irish chicken. So I would say that's a huge one. It's just,
I didn't realise this.
Oh, it's enormous. So honestly, it's how most people, now obviously many incredible brands, a lot of makers are actually fully, like we would always say, from sketch to final setting, we do everything in Ireland.
Because you have a team in-house.
Hugely. We have an incredible team. It's one of the most amazing things. We've got incredible partners and incredible goldsmiths where we literally, from the day I start the sketch until we bring it to life, it takes, so for a first design, which can take up to a year, getting that ring perfect. So we know that we've thought about the engineering of the claws. Because if you're buying a ring where they've just bought in the setting, have they road tested that design? Or have they just bought,
like,
gone, okay, you want a trilogy ring, you want a trilogy on a high setting, grand, this one will do. Is it going to fall out? What's the gold quality like?
So you're testing that and making sure that it's fit perfect.
Literally from sketch to reality. And then even when we make a ring for you, it'll take us about 6 weeks because we go through that full process. 13 pairs of hands with over 100 years of experience to make a ring. And you want that because I always say we make pieces of the future.
Yeah,
we're making something you're going to wear and pass on. And so you've got to, and whether you come to Chupi or whether you go anywhere else, ask the questions.
Particularly like, and I think you're going to be, you're making this decision anyway. So why not just do it in a nicer way?
I think the world we want to live in, another one to always think about in the diamond front. So Russia produces 40% of the world's diamonds. So if you're out in the high street today, anywhere in the world buying a diamond ring,
and this is not a lab. This is a mined diamond.
A natural diamond. So they'll be telling you all the gorgeous things about how natural the diamonds are. So most diamonds move through a couple of places in the world. They have to go to Antwerp. They go to the New York Diamond Exchange. So they come out of Russia.
Yeah.
They go to New York. They go to Antwerp. The person buying your diamond has no idea where it came from because diamond passports.
Because it was just going through so many different places.
And so they'll say, oh, the diamond came from Antwerp.
Yeah. Like,
wonderful.
Because you would think Antwerp, EU.
Gorgeous.
Great.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
but where did it come out of the ground? 2 in 5, 40% chance it came out of Russia. And I don't know about you, but when I tell the story of my ring, it won't be, and that funded the war in Ukraine. And so those questions are...
These are the things, like it's when you think about it, it's like, it's an engagement ring, but it's so much more.
It's huge because it's such a big purchase and it's so political. And because the cost of gold and diamonds is so high, there's such, you know, the other options are Angola. If you want to get your diamond out of Angola, Congo, these are the world's biggest diamond producers.
Designs,
they're Canadian diamonds. So if you are going natural, go Canadian. And literally, you want a passport that's
I have heard that. Yes, I have heard Canada is the place if you want it sourced.
Huge. I would say the other challenge in buying a diamond is, so it might say Canadian, it might not be.
But how do you know? There are a few big scandals.
Honestly, there's been a few big scandals. It's hugely why for us, so about 90% of our diamonds now are lab grown. Because so we can guarantee.
You can guarantee where they came this from. Is. So, like, I'm thinking of couples, it's such a daunting experience getting married as well and thinking of
huge.
Everything we need to do. So, first we get to this kind of minefield of getting the ring, and yeah. the ring is such a big purchase, a lot of money to pass over. It's such a significant thing because it's now saying yes, we're about to do this, and now we have to think about. Oh, actually,
politics.
Hold on.
Geopolitics.
Do you know? And this is it. It never dawned on me. I would always say, yeah, lab are more sustainable, mm. great. But I never looked into the impact. And like, I've seen the movies, Blood Diamonds, I've seen all of that. But you don't actually think of that in the moment when you are trying on a beautiful ring.
And honestly, you shouldn't have to. So there should be certifying bodies. So the Kimberley process is the big body in diamonds. At one point, the chair of it was Russian. So that was great. During the war in Ukraine, the chair was Russian. So there should be consumer protection in place to protect you when you're shopping. And transparency. But it doesn't exist. And so like many things, we've got to shape our own future. And people will tell you they can tell what a Russian diamond looks like. Honestly, the biggest lie ever. There is no way you can distinguish a Russian diamond from an Angolan diamond,
really?
From a Cambodian diamond, from a diamond anywhere in the world. A diamond
okay.
is a diamond.
A diamond is a diamond. And that's yeah. why lab is so poignant, because again...
Well, and my other
it's
one...
It's exactly the same.
...that always horrifies me is if you're choosing a natural, 40% chance it's from Russia, there's actually a pretty significant chance it's lab. And you're paying natural diamond prices, thinking you're getting a natural real diamond, real in inverted commas,
yeah.
And actually you're buying a lab. Because labs are chemically, molecularly and visually identical.
That's it.
So the only way you can tell... So there used to be a tell where... And you see the... You know, we've all seen those shows where they flash a little UV pen and they yeah. can see the fluorescence between a natural diamond and a lab diamond. It actually has changed. Because the guys who grow the lab diamonds have now changed the way they grow so that you can't tell from that. Because okay. they didn't want people embarrassed. You know, because
yeah,
some people,
because it's kind of being, oh, it's not the real thing. When in...
Honestly,
it's just scientifically different. Yeah.
For Chiefy, they walk out that we're really proud because yeah. they're like, I didn't buy a blood diamond. For them, it's a really ethical
okay.
choice. But for many people, it used to be a little bit of a thing. So they've changed the way lab diamonds are grown. So by and large, you can't tell the difference. The only way you can tell is you can tell at an atomic level. The way the diamond is formed.
And who's going into the...
If you've got your microscope that can look at atomic levels, then you can tell.
Okay.
Because
so bringing Dr. Luke O'Neill with you when you're
literally,
going.
You're taking Luke. Like, this yeah. is it. And so I always think... And also, it's half the price. You know, you can
this
get...
This is the thing. So... It's half the price and there is no shame in that. That is bonus.
Honey, spend your money where it matters. I'm always like, you know, we've got a few beautiful, we've got a gorgeous 2-carat diamond we did for the amazing Nicola Coughlan.
That's
as part
right
of British.
And it's stunning.
It's a 2-carat heart cut cladder. It is so beautiful. And she just, I feel like she's queen of hearts. You know,
yeah.
her political stance is amazing. Everything's just for women.
She's
for
a
Gaza.
Great alignment. Just, you know, she is prime choopy, isn't she?
I just adore her. I adore everything she does. And so we do that beautiful ring. It's 10,000 2-carat diamond, and we occasionally have people who are like, oh, I love it, would you price it in natural diamond? We're talking about 30,000 quid.
Whoa.
You're going 10 to 30. I'm like, honey, if you've got a 30,000 quid budget, buy the 10,000 quid ring and spend 20,000 quid going around the world.
Yeah,
you know, just don't waste your money. You spend your money cleverly, because
exactly.
we're never going to,
because it is now the same thing.
It's now the same thing,
but better.
But it's not, and that's not it.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. It is much, much, much better, because the world we live in, it doesn't mean occasionally we have people, and we'll do Canadian, we would say on average we need 3 months to source a natural diamond because we want it to be perfect. We can sometimes do it really fast.
Okay.
Gorgeous guy in last week, absolutely insistent, wanted a natural diamond. We got his diamond in 24 hours because we have incredible relationships that can deliver
yes.
on it. And so we would say 3 months, sometimes it's really quick. But I always think, yeah, define the world you want to live in.
Okay, and it's so hand in hand because it's an emotive purchase. So this
emotional.
Is another emotive motivation.
I
know.
I think it's funny. We've got this idea that tradition matters more than anything else in the world. But tradition starts somewhere. So yeah, maybe your mom didn't have a lab-grown diamond. Maybe your auntie doesn't have a lab-grown diamond.
It wasn't there at the time.
It wasn't there. It didn't exist as an option. And so, you know, it's the same reason people always ask me, oh, how should I wear my wedding ring? Do I wear it under? Do I wear it on top? And so I wear my wedding ring, my engagement for it. So you know the legend is the reason we wear our rings on our left hand ring finger is there's a vein that runs from your finger to your heart.
Yes.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely bullshit. But like the most
like
gorgeous
it is
reason,
gorgeous.
It's right beside your heart.
Yeah.
And I love that. So I've always honored that tradition. So I wear my engagement, obviously wear my engagement ring first. Then when I got married, I wore my wedding ring next because for me that was, do you remember the moment standing at the top of the aisle? In the room with the people you love all around you. And just, I remember that moment as Brian put my wedding ring on my finger and just thinking, my God, this is everyone I love in one room, him forever. And so I wear my wedding ring closest to my heart. And then when we had our little girl, And I made my crown of hope. I made one with a diamond for my two little doggies, a diamond for my husband, and one for my daughter and one for me. So I wear that beside my heart because that is the day my family started. Yeah. And that it was the beginning and the end of my family starting. So I always think that's not the tradition my mum honoured. She wore hers differently. Mm-hmm. She's divorced, so she clearly threw hers away. But she didn't wear that. And we get to define our own traditions.
Of course.
What does it look like? And
what does it look like for you? And what's that right mix for you?
And so do you promise ring? Maybe you don't. Promise rings are gorgeous now.
Yes.
Love it as a trend.
Well, I have mine and I still
did
have it.
Did you do a promise ring?
So gorgeous. Owen went out and got a promise ring. And I still have it. It's in the box and I will never let it go because it's not because the ring was particularly whatever. But now, to be fair, the promise ring was exactly what I thought I wanted. Oh. So it was, you know, the white gold. It was the single, the solitaire, and it was, you know, big, big, boisterous ring. And then it wasn't until I actually started actively shopping and I went, no, it doesn't suit my finger. And
isn't
then I found the one, you know, so it is that thing. It's kind of like buying the wedding dress where you think I've seen this, I've saved all these pictures. This is what's going to be right. Yeah. Then you put it on and you're like, oh no. And then all of a sudden you put something else on going, that isn't what I would go for, but that is me. And here we are, you know, and I think that open mind is so important.
And I adore promise ring and we will see. So although 9 out of 10 will have done the pre-shop together, he might still come back in or she might come in and choose a promise ring. Because it still means they get that gorgeous moment. You know, you get to come in, you get to have your full experience, you get to do the shopping together, you get to do all the try on.
It's a gorgeous day. Oh,
like, just the best.
Like, that is one of the best days you're going to have.
Like,
the excitement.
So much excitement.
And the worst part is that it takes time for the ring then to be ready.
It's torture.
And then you have to go off and you're so excited and it's not on your finger. But then you have another reason to come back in and pick it up.
You get the second moment. But I always think as well on that idea, you know, it's why I'd always say, go try on rings. Maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend's more traditional and they don't want to go ring shopping with you. Go with your girlfriends. Get a glass of wine. Go out for lunch. Have a glass of wine and go try on rings. So we have gorgeous all across Christmas. It's really funny. I'm seeing all the bookings coming in. You can drop in or most places, pretty much all the diamond shops, you can drop in or book. I would always say book if you're doing a big engagement ring moment because then you get the champagne and you get the space.
Yes.
But do either pop in and we're seeing over Christmas all these gorgeous bookings of girlfriends coming
really?
In together because they're home, they're traveling,
of
their
course.
Friends are home, and they're just going to come in,
get opinions, and
try on the rings. Bring your bestie.
Great idea.
It's like the wedding dress. You'd never go preemptively wedding dress shopping because you've got so much time.
Yes.
But what if your partner proposes with a ring you hate? So go in, because so often we've got this idea of what's going to work, or like ovals are huge at the moment. Gorgeous.
Seen that.
Ovals are the shape. They work on every single finger because they elongate your finger.
Of course.
And we're going to get a sign in the store one day that says all hands are good hands because people have so many hang-ups. They come and they're like, I hate my hands are too fat.
And I say that's the first thing. Oh God, sorry, my hands are so this.
And,
I remember
my nails.
That.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
I remember
everyone comes
that.
With this whole hang-up. But if you get, so ovals, gorge. It is such a good shape. Universally divine. I love a trilogy, I have to say. So I love an oval with, so we've a starlight or a dew light, but basically an oval with either. So I've got a trilogy as well. With a stone either side, because it's the past, the present and the future.
I never knew that's what it meant.
Or today, tomorrow, forever. And
I used to just sell those puppies. I never really thought about it.
I'm all about the
emotion. Like, 3 stones looks fab.
No, you've got
go
to
for it.
Get that trilogy. It's the past, the present, the future, because it's such a big moment. You're choosing forever. You literally are choosing forever. So I love a trilogy. But you come in and try them on. Come with your girlfriends. Do that try on. We have a virtual try on, so you can take a photo of your
By
hand.
The way,
it's
so
fun,
I was
it?
Back of house.
Yeah, yeah.
In with you a couple of months ago.
Oh, we had so much fun.
I have never seen the virtual setup. And it was funny because one of the girls were telling me, they're like, oh, like, we've got grooms that are hiding in the bathroom doing this appointment virtually. And they're in and they're pretending to have a shower. And it's like, this, like, I was
super
like, this is unreal.
Yeah.
So you've got this plate and it's like cameras all over it. It's lighting. So every time, you know, you're showing somebody virtually, you've got this unbelievable view of popping the ring in, showing it on a finger, showing them basically what they're going for and showing the close-up as if they were standing in the store.
It's so important.
It's phenomenal.
And it's gorgeous. The first time we launched these try-on virtual appointments so people could, it's basically like posh Zoom, let's be clear. Zoom with very fancy cameras and a very sexy video setup. My brother runs a film production company and so he does our full tech
setup. He wasn't showing up.
So when I call it
stuff.
Sexy Zoom, I'm sure he's going to kill me. Luke, I apologise in advance. It's not sexy Zoom.
Do you know how much work goes into
Exactly.
That?
Only the beautiful sexy see text Adam. But it's so important because it's getting that try on, because if you're anywhere in the world, and but the first one we ever did was in the car. So this guy dials in, he'd driven the car down the road, he pretended he was going out to get milk, driven the car, pulled in the side of the road and did it. And it felt a bit shady. Remember the consultant, the team we were dealing with him, was like, bit weird at the start. And then she was like, oh no, I get it, because he's trying to hide.
He's trying to hide.
Yes. It's not always possible to get in and do the thing. And but again, it's just, I always think it's like getting the ring that's you, getting the tradition that's yours, choosing the moment that's yours, and making sure that it is really about you guys. Because so many people are eloping now. So we see a lot of eloping where people are coming in, choosing the rings in secret, getting the wedding bands, and just going for it. Because it's their version.
That's
of
their way. And you see the structure and this, you know, and I think COVID had a huge helping hand in that. It just flipped what expectation is, and the fact that there is no longer an expectation and you can do whatever you want.
Yes.
You know, suit yourselves. And as well, you've got a lot of couples now that are, you know, they're in the cusp of trying to get home. They're trying to get ahead. You know, like it's wild out there. Yeah. And I think it's not for everyone. Whereas most people, even though it wasn't for them, they felt kind of shoehorned that they had to run with the day a certain way. So it's brilliant to see. Yeah. But we have a huge American audience coming in and eloping in Ireland. And we see that. Like the whole west coast of Ireland is just elopements.
Oh my God.
All along.
Photos,
you know,
dream.
They're unreal.
But I'm always for your wedding. Spend your money on your rings and your photographs, because it's the only thing you'll have
after. Well, it's the only thing you have after it.
Literally.
Exactly.
Obviously,
everything else is perishable.
Flowers and incredible. They're also beautiful moments, but concentrate your budget in your rings, because you're going to wear them for the rest
of
your life. And your photographs. Your photographer makes or
couldn't
breaks your day.
More. Couldn't agree more. They are the important takeaways that is your little gift to yourself.
And it's it's the one thing, don't save your budget on your photographer, because we had two, which was really bougie. I said it to you before, but I'm so glad we did, because it meant that we got one incredible guy. It was all reportage, super Chantenu Star Trek. And it was all reportage, really intimate, really like hiding in bushes, jumping out.
Oh, I love that.
And then Jason McCarthy, who just did gorgeous classic, caught all these perfect, like it's the moment of granny laughing in the room with the mom and I standing. So I think that's the way to spend it. And because, you know, wedding and engagement, I also think, hasn't it changed so much the time between now the engagement and wedding?
It's longer. That period is longer. And it's, you know, like I work with a lot of venues and I do an awful lot of audits and that sort of thing. So I would look at their booking lead times. And if I go back to 2018, it was like the year. It's like one year out, done. And now it is like at standard, a minimum of 18 months to 24 months. You will still get people within the year. You always will get that. They tend to be sometimes older couples, not older like as in like they're decrepit, but like they are over the age of 30.
They're just more chill.
They're more
mid-30s
upwards. Yeah. But you are looking at a 2-year lead time now because the cost of weddings.
Huge. And also our expectation now on what we want to do at our weddings and how we want to make it sweat. But
this,
you know, the registry office, the Dublin registry office is currently about 9 months for a booking. We have a gorgeous bride and groom who are doing, this is actually a big trend, is the double wedding ring.
Yes.
Because you're doing the registry office and then going
abroad.
And
then you go and do it.
Or you're doing
the
civil and the religious, or you're doing one in your country, one in their country.
Yep.
And so super, super cute. So they're trying to get married here and then do the abroad piece. And they're currently being offered dates in July for the registry office they want to go to. July.
Yeah, I'd well believe
December.
It. I would well believe it, because that dynamic wasn't in the mix.
Usually.
Because you look back to the CSO figures, and it would have been majority was a religious ceremony. But now we see that is now, you know, we still have a strong number of religious, but it's now completely broken down across the other ways that you would get married.
Change.
And there is an increase in people going abroad. Yeah. So naturally you're going to have that. And we've seen so many influencers.
Yeah.
Opting for that. So they are kind of the window into the possibility.
Hugely.
And the style, and they're influential. So people are seeing these gorgeous city weddings, and then they're going to have their ceremony, you know, abroad.
Which
or whatever. And
it's gorgeous. Such a gorgeous way to do it.
It is lovely.
And always, I think when you're looking at the internet, and you know, I'm so aware I live some of my life in the internet, as do you, but it's always a highlight reel. It's always best moments. And so just really being sure in this engagement and wedding journey, what does it feel like for you? What makes you happy?
Exactly.
Because it's about the two of you ultimately.
Yeah. And you don't have to do what everybody else is doing.
Don't.
And I think that is the biggest piece now, because there was that, I have to do what mom says, I have to do what auntie says, I have to do what, you know, mother-in-law says. You don't.
In fact, is that a great piece of life advice? Is that the number one takeaway?
That is the
set your own tradition, honey. Define your own happiness. And it's wonderful.
This is it. But if you don't start now, wait until you have to decide where you're spending Christmas. Wait until you decide, you know, when you've got kids in the mix.
When the babies are coming along and all
that. Exactly. Like, these are the things.
Yeah.
Because you are now in the next chapter of building your own family. You are
hugely.
And that can be hard.
And whether
for other moms to let
not,
go. Exactly.
Whether you go on and have kids or not, you are. Once, I always think it's really funny. actually getting engaged is huge. I was really cynical because, like I said, you know, dad on his fifth marriage, I was like, oh, you know, will it actually feel any different? It feels so different.
Well, can we talk about that for a second? Yeah. And this could be our parting advice. So for you, what does marriage mean?
I think it means forever. And I always think that's that is ironic, given, you know, child of very, very, very serially divorced parents.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's just the way you explain it.
It is. I am serially divorced. I think the incredible thing about marriage is choosing forever together and entering in. And yes, things may change in the future.
But you're going in with the right intentions.
You're going in with this idea of it's you and me. We've made this commitment. We've decided on we are going to spend the rest of our lives. We're going to build a future together. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. And you have, you know, you've dated, you've been together. You might have even bought a house. You might have a dog. You might even have babies. But it's this huge moment of saying to the world, because I think that's it. It's the public declaration of being it's us and it's forever. And it's why people are so thrilled, because we want the people we love to feel safe. We want them to be loved. We want them as adored and valued as they are. And so I always think it's incredible. As someone who's very cynical about the idea of getting engaged, about the idea of getting married, it is choosing forever together.
And I will part on that note, because that is absolutely beautiful. Shubhi, thank you so much. And of course, you have an amazing social media presence. So if people are looking for inspiration, whether you're buying together, because I'm sure there'll be a few snoopers that will listen to this podcast to get the inside track. You've got an amazing social media channel at Shubhi, and then visit your website.
Gorgeous.
Because it is stunning.
And honestly, I'd just love to help. I don't want anyone choosing the wrong ring or choosing the wrong moment or not understanding. So it doesn't matter if you're choosing a Shubhi ring or someone else. I'm at Shubhi. I'd love to just help you make sure you make the right choice, so that you're not in 10 years looking at your ring going, oh my dear God,
What did we do?
Exactly. What did we do? And why didn't I choose the one that felt like me? So I'm really happy. I'd love to help.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my darling.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.